get on the boat here. How's everybody doing tonight? Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to be here. And it's fall time, isn't it? Nice and cool. Some don't like it, some do. And nonetheless, it's here. And so we will enjoy it. Got some good rain yesterday. Praise the Lord for that. And so we are right here at the holiday season. Good to see everybody. Hope you have had a good week so far. And just want to do a little sound check. Can everybody hear me right now? Okay. All right. We had the opportunity this morning to be over at Grace. I always like to share that with you just because it's always a good experience for me. And we always have a good time. But the other day, Brother Bo texted me and asked me if I'd fill in. And I said yes. So we had a good time preaching over there. Of course, we're on the countdown. You know, this is the last year they're going to be. And so I want to snag every opportunity I get to preach over there before they're out of there for good. But anyway, had a good time and had a good day today. And it's just good to be here. And y'all forgive me. I'm grabbing a bulletin again. I left mine on my desk again. And I'm getting in the habit of that. It just proves that I stare at it a lot. And I pray for you a lot because it is right there. But anyway, we'll jump right into things. Don't forget this coming up Sunday night at 5 o'clock is our Thanksgiving dinner. If you can make it, that'd be great. We have all our sign-up sheets over here for that. So just remember that. Table decorating, bringing food. Seems like there's another sign-up sheet. I think it may be for the Christmas operation, Christmas child. But I think CLU. Okay. Yeah. You know, the holidays, there's a lot of sign-up sheets, a lot of things going on. So thank you for guiding me on that. CLU, remember that. And there's going to be other Christmas gatherings coming up soon. So be listening out for that. But anyway, we'll jump right into prayer requests and updates and anything we need to mention. Let's just remember everybody on our prayer list. I'm just going to call them out as we look at it. The hurricane, Helene and Milton, victims. Let's remember that. Our children's home staff and children, Diane Ely, in her recovery. I spoke with Randy today, and she's coming along. She's coming along. Just taking a little while. I believe she went to a doctor yesterday, but she's walking slowly, and it's just going to take some time, but she's doing good. She is coming right along. Jim Jr., his upcoming surgery, that's to be announced. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, let's remember them. My grandparents, James and Shirley Townsend, Claudia Darby, Harold Dolph, the Riches, let's remember them. Miss Connie Norton, our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning. Then let's remember James Tolan Brown and the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, and Jamie Carden in the Air Force. And, of course, continue to remember Lily. We're going tomorrow for her pre-op. And we've got two appointments, one at 11, one at 1, all out in Dunwoody. And so remember us on that as we get ready for the surgery, which is coming soon, not next Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. So remember that, if you would. Of course, I'd like to have special prayer on December 1st on Sunday. Is that the 1st? I believe it was the 1st. Anyway, thereabouts. Got a couple other prayer requests for you. Everybody remember Carl Partain that was here, our Jubilee? I've been chatting back and forth with him. He has a son named Jude. Jude was supposed to have, I believe he's a teenager. I can't tell you how old he is. A good guesstimation would be 13, 14. He was supposed to have a heart valve replacement tomorrow. I'm not sure if it's going to be at Atlanta Children's, or I don't even know if Alabama has a children's hospital of Alabama. Me and Carl has been sharing in our prayer requests, me with Lily and him with Jude. Well, they postponed Jude's surgery. Carl said that there are so many newborns right now that are sick that there is no room for Jude. And so his surgery is postponed to the 12th, which is the Thursday. Lily's surgery is on Wednesday, on the 4th, and then not that Thursday, the following day, but the next week Thursday will be Jude's surgery, the 12th. And so I told Carl that I'm going to be mentioning this to the church. Would that be okay? He said, absolutely. So please remember Jude, Jude Partain, having a heart valve replacement, young person. And but I do appreciate Brother Carl. We've been able to share in this with his child and I and me and Christy's child. And I really like how the Lord arranges things like that sometimes for you to share with other people in. It's very comforting. Remember that. Also, remember my neighbor Joe Irons, right across the street. I reached out to him yesterday just to let him know what we're getting ready to go through and with Lily's surgery. And he has a daughter that's 14, and he says, you're not going to believe this. My daughter just got diagnosed with scoliosis today. And so she's going to go get fitted for a sleeping brace. And I told Joe, I said, we've been there. We've done that. We are here for you. And it's just amazing how God sets things up with certain people for you to share in. I mean, you know, we're able to help them, encourage them, because we're at the end of it. They're at the beginning of it, you know. And it's just amazing how God has been. I could tell you several stories tonight, how the Lord has worked, even this week, on different things. And but God has met our emotional needs. Christy's, mine, Lily's, he showed up several ways. And so I just praise the Lord for how he's been working in this situation. So remember my neighbor, if you would, and his daughter. All right, we'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request or an update. Hassan? Okay. We'll remember you, buddy. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Mary? Let's remember this tonight for sure. Thank you for sharing that. We'll remember this. Lee Ellen. We sure will. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? All right. Well, okay, if that's all we have, let's all just meet down here at the altar, all that would like to. We'll have a time of silent prayer together, and then it looks like Brother Jeff has one loaded up, ready to go for us for tonight.
haven of rest. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered that haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'll safe evermore. I yielded myself to his wonder embrace, in faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. My heaven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story so blessed. Oh, Jesus, who'll save, who wherever hath ill, have a home in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, come to this Savior, ye patiently wait, to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore.
What a blessing. I'm not walking out on you. I just have a habit about that door. It doesn't matter if it's open or closed. That's just my old habit. Anyway, I'm a creature of habit. We got any more creatures in here? Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that. We appreciate that. And sweet haven of rest. There's a sweet haven of rest here in Jesus, and one day there's going to be a permanent sweet haven of rest there. in heaven with Jesus. All right, appreciate that again, Brother Jeff. Appreciate you being here. And Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, very familiar verse. But while you're turning there to Philippians 4, verse number 8, the holidays are upon us, as we know. And Black Friday sales have already started. And the sales are taking off on Amazon as well, and Walmart.com, and in the stores. You know, people start acting crazy about this time of year. And so just be on the lookout. Don't be out too late. Park close to the stores. And you know the drill. But there's about to be a lot of chaos in Hiram. There is every year. A lot of traffic. A lot of chaos across the USA, actually. And to be quite honest with you, I kind of feel like the turkey is chasing me this year. And I know many can understand what I'm saying. Feel like the turkey is chasing the hunter. In other words, you just got a lot going on, and Thanksgiving's getting close, the holidays getting close. But you know, nothing we can do about that. The holidays are here. A little Thanksgiving humor for you. This has to do with burning the turkey, and this is just a positive way of looking at burning the bird and a positive way of looking at Thanksgiving. All right, you burn the turkey. Well, salmonella won't be a concern now. You burn the turkey, no one will overeat. You burn the turkey, everyone will think it's Cajun blackened. You burn the turkey this year, uninvited guests will think twice next year about coming to your place. You burn the turkey, pets won't pester you for scraps. And I can say amen to that because I got a little crazy dog at home. You burn the turkey, well, it's time for a smoke alarm test anyway. You burn the turkey, you'll get to dessert quicker. And me and Ceylon said amen to that. So, positive look at burning the turkey, all right? It has somewhat to do with the lesson tonight. We are approaching Thanksgiving, and all year long we all experience our own ups and downs. Good news, not so good news, some bad news. We're in, we're out, we're off, we're on all through the year. And I'm sure we're all in different places tonight. And some of us, again, we share our places that we're at. And some of us kind of just keep it on the inside. And both is fine. But some may be in a good spot, some may be in a not so good spot. But I just want to ask the question tonight, in spite of wherever we're at, how should we approach Thanksgiving? That's my question. How should we? I mean, in light of where we're at, how should our approach be toward the holidays? You know, we all have enough going on where we could say, well, I'm just going to stay home and not get out and rub shoulders with people and just mull over what I'm going through. And you probably have a right to do that, and plenty of content to do that. But how should we? How should we approach Thanksgiving? I only have 2 points tonight, and I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about this. But first, notice if you would, verse number 8 of Philippians chapter number 4. Love this verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Before we mention our 2 points, I want to say this. Someone told me this the other day. They said this about the brain. You have got to, and it was in conversation, you have got to be the boss of your brain. You have got to boss your mind. Because if you don't, your mind, your brain will boss you. All right? And we were just talking about different things, but they said that. I'm thinking, you know, that's good stuff. And immediately I thought about this verse. The question is, this Thanksgiving, and in a lot of all the holidays we're getting ready to go through, will your mind boss you, or will you boss your mind? And this takes practice to be the boss, because it requires being deliberate. It requires practice, discipline, courage. Because Paul says here, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And so tonight I just want to mention just two things on how I feel we should approach Thanksgiving, keeping in mind we need to be the boss of our mind. And the title is actually, it could be the boss of your mind, but the title is, how should we approach Thanksgiving? How should we approach Thanksgiving? Number one, we should approach Thanksgiving by focusing on the good. Focusing on the good. This is very elementary tonight, but it's helpful for people like me who are in elementary school. Focus on the good. This is all Paul says here are good things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, again, true and so forth and so on. He says, think on these things. Think on these things. And so tonight, let us focus on the good. I want to give you an example of this, how we have to be deliberate on focusing on the good. Let me ask you a question. When we think about David, what pops up first in your mind? You don't have to say it. If it doesn't pop up first, it may pop up second. But many times when we think about David, we think about his sin with Bathsheba. Now, David did many great things in his life. God used him greatly. But if it isn't the first thing that pops up in your mind, it may be the second thing, and that is his sin with Bathsheba. He looked, he lingered, he lusted. And the question is, shouldn't we be thinking about that? Shouldn't we be thinking about how David disobeyed God? And he had a man murdered, Uriah, and the sword never left David's household. There was suffering for many years. Shouldn't we be thinking about that blemish in David's life? Well, when it comes to the natural man, we have a tendency of thinking about bad things. We have a tendency of thinking about the negative, don't we? If we're being honest, you know, we think about David, we think about his sin. But the answer to that question, shouldn't we be thinking about David's sin? You already know the answer. The answer to that is no. But we have to be deliberate because we are negative people born into this world. We just are. We look around us, there's negativity, you know, there's crime, there's murder, there's inflation, there's job loss, there's depression, discouragement. We have to be the boss of our brain. And so when we think of David, we shouldn't think of his sin, we should think of David being forgiven. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 51, verse number 1. I just want to read you one verse. Psalm 51, verse 1, the Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy love and kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So we have a man here in Psalm 51 who has a repentant heart. He is so sorrowful over his sin and his aggression towards God. And so he asked God to forgive him, and no doubt David was forgiven. But you see, tonight we have to be deliberate to think on the good side of things. We have to be disciplined. Now, another verse I want to read you, we're going to be flipping here and there tonight, is actually in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1. Galatians 6, verse number 1. You know, we hear of people falling into sin. We hear of people messing up and backsliding, even getting out of church. And if we're not careful, we start comparing ourselves. Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm better than they are. And we have this self-righteousness if we're not careful. But tonight, I just want us to focus on the good. And in Galatians 6, verse number 1, the writer here, Paul, he's not talking about pointing the finger toward a brother that is overtaken in the fault, but he's talking about being a restorer. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so he's talking about being a restorer here. He's not talking about being a blamer. He's not talking about pointing the finger. He's not talking about comparing righteousness. But he says here, I want you to focus on the ministry of a brother or sister when he falls. Now, that word restore there is an interesting word. The word restore means to repair. There's been a few surgeries lately. Brother Allen, Miss Diane, Carl Partain's son Jude's going to have surgery. Lily's going to have surgery. And wouldn't you think it would, and anybody else who's had surgery, wouldn't you think it would be so just terrible if the doctor angrily went in there and just, well, it's surgery this morning. I can't believe you're hurting. I can't believe you have this problem. And he just, you know, puts the patient to sleep, cuts them open, and just starts slapping stuff together. And that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But you see, this is through the idea of repairing gradually, repairing slowly, as a doctor would prep the patient. You know, there's post-op. That's where we're going, is post-op tomorrow. And so there's going to be talk about the surgery. There's going to be a counselor present. So if we got any questions, they can give us the answer to put us at ease. There's a tenderness there. There's a preparation there. And I'm pretty sure that even the anesthesiologist and all that pertains to the operation, every one of them is picturing themselves going into surgery and said, I'm going to treat this patient kindly and tenderly as if it was me. And you know that doctor is looking at the patient that way. I'm going to be slow. I'm going to make sure I get enough rest the night before. This is going to be my best surgery ever. And so the doctor and the nurses and everybody does their part. They're kindly and patiently restoring that patient. And us tonight, that's how our approach ought to be when it comes to people and their sin and people and slipping and people and messing up, and people in their struggles, people going through times of discouragement even, and depression. We ought not to say, you ought to get up and straighten up and be good. Act right. Why'd you mess up? Why don't you snap and be happy? Don't you know if a person could just snap out of it and be happy, they would? We need to be tender and kind. And so when it comes to these examples in the Bible, when it comes to David, as we just mentioned a moment ago, there was mercy and grace for David. He was completely forgiven. God gave him a second chance while men wouldn't forget, and consequences remained. The truth of the matter is that was the past of David. So when we think about David, let's be intentional and think about how when he was a little boy and he was working for his father, and he was delivering food to the men in the camp of Israel, and how everybody was discouraged. And David, from a pure heart and a heart for God, he chose to stand up against that giant. David was a giant killer. Yes, true, later in life, David got killed by a giant, the giant of lust. But David went on, and David actually fought more giants, the brothers of Goliath. And David was a man of war, and David could have killed Saul, and he didn't do it. Let's remember David being the soldier that he was, the warrior that he was, the giant killer that he was. Let's focus on the good when it comes to thanksgiving. And that's what Paul is telling us in Philippians chapter number 4. He's telling us to focus on the things that are true and good. But we've got to be deliberate. We've got to be intentional. And I want to tell you, sometimes when we make a decision to focus on the good and be deliberate and intentional and have courage, a lot of times it starts changing our patterns every day. Because that means we got to put ourselves around positive people. That means we've got to read our Bible. That means we've got to pray. That means we've got to do all of these things so that we can have the better version of ourselves. And so it's a domino effect. And so Paul is saying here, this is what we need to do. Year-round, 24/7, 365, is focus on the good. Now, let me say this. Focus on the good this Thanksgiving. We've all made bad choices, bearing consequences, but be thankful for mercy and grace. I know you are, I am. Focusing on good things takes effort, and you must be intentional, as we just said. This is a national holiday set aside to be thankful, so let's focus on the good tonight. Focus on the good. So that's how we should approach Thanksgiving, by focusing on the good. But then, number two, I want to say, we should focus on Thanksgiving by finding purpose in the bad. Finding purpose in the bad. Let us learn from unpleasant experiences. I say it all the time. I really feel like a broken record. And I know you're listening, and I know you've heard it your whole life, but we really got to keep repeating it, don't we? Because we're constantly going through things. Let us learn from unpleasant experiences. We're not just going through an unpleasant experience just because. If we belong to Jesus, there is a reason. Now, sometimes we make choices that get us in unpleasant experiences. Other times, it's just God at work. It's His providence. We didn't ask for it. It just happened. But let us learn. James chapter number 1, briefly tonight. Verse number 5, listen to this, follow along, whatever. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom, understanding. If you don't understand what's going on in your life, ask God what's going on. But be looking and listening for His answer. I think sometimes, and I know myself, I ask God about something, God, why this, why that, and I just leave it, and then I go on about my day, and I'm not looking for the answer, I'm not watching for the answer. Many times we're going through something we don't understand, we ask God about it, and He'll show us in that situation the lesson He wants us to learn. And so James 1:5 says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. He won't taunt you, won't ridicule you. He'll give it to you. Back in Philippians chapter number 4, a little bit of Bible drill tonight. Philippians 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed, I am taught both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul says, I have been instructed. I have been taught. Nothing in my life was by chance. When I was hungry, there was a lesson in those hunger pains. When my belly was grumbling and mumbling and I was hungry and I didn't have no food, God was teaching me contentment even during that time. when I had plenty and I had no need of want. There was a message in that for me from God, how to handle the blessings of God without backsliding on God. You know, in order for God to get obedience out of some people, they got to stay poor. And I'm not necessarily talking about financially. That may be true too. But I'm talking about spiritually. Always going through a storm. Always being dumped out. All this, all that. Sometimes that's the only way that God can get complete obedience out of somebody, as if they're only to be in a storm. I think about some people, the only time that they're obeying the law is when they're in jail. You know what I'm saying? They get out of jail, they commit a crime again, they get thrown back in jail. Oh, I'll never do it again, I'll never do it again. They get released from jail, they do it again, blah, 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 blah. Not all of them, but some. A lot of people are experiencing spiritual poverty because of themselves. They can't handle prosperity. And so there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in poverty, there's a lesson in prosperity. And Paul says, I have learned some things to honor Christ, lean on Him, whether I'm rich or poor. And so we ought to find purpose in the bad. Find purpose in the bad. Same book, Philippians, look at chapter 1, verse number 12. Paul is in prison, of course. This is the prison epistle. And one of them, and Paul's in prison here. And listen to this. He's in prison. He's writing. Look at verse number 12, what he says. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul is saying, okay, now I'm incarcerated. I didn't do anything wrong. I was preaching Jesus. I'm thrown in jail, he said. And the natural tendency to think about jail would be incarceration, hunger, discouragement, depression, and maybe even death. But Paul said, God used this bad situation to enhance the gospel. He says in verse number 12 that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out. That phrase fallen out means to accompany or aid in. The things which have happened unto me have aided in the furtherance of the gospel. By me being in jail, it allowed the gospel to be spread more than if I was out of jail. How about that? How about that? So let's just be mindful tonight of our bad situation. God could be doing a lot of things. God could be using you to be a light to others. God could be using you to get the gospel out. Listen, you don't like it. I don't like it. We would have chosen a different way. But since we're here, why don't we look at it the right way? God has handpicked you. God has put you in your situation because nobody else could do it like you. He tailor-made it for your light to shine in your darkness, to show Jesus to somebody. If it was somebody else, they couldn't get through what you're going through particularly, because God handpicked that, and you couldn't get through what they're going through particularly because God handpicked that for them. We know the grace of God is sufficient for us to get through anything, but anything He wants us to get through. And so we see here that the gospel aided, his imprisonment aided the gospel, verse number 3, so that my bonds or my chains in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all of the places. In verse number 14 says, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident. Paul's imprisonment brought confidence and courage to those who weren't incarcerated. Man, Paul's in jail. He didn't do nothing wrong. He's in there preaching and sharing the gospel, God's blessing. What excuse do we have? Wow, what courage that's given me. This is the effect of Paul being in his prison. Our prison affects people somehow. I want my prison, if I'm ever in any kind of prison, to be a positive influence on others. We preached this morning over at Grace, and I preached on Jabez. I love preaching on Jabez. But you know what? Jabez wasn't happy where he was at. Because verse number 10 of 1 Chronicles, he calls on God and he asks God to extend or enlarge his coast, Brother Ceylon. And that phrase, enlarge my coast, it means to extend my limits. And I told the young people, I said, listen, I said, you ought not to be content or happy where you're at in your life. Because if you are, you will stop growing and stop maturing. I said, this man, Jabez, he was not content. He wanted to influence more. He wanted God to extend his influence more and all those other things. Don't be content where you're at. Want more out of life. Want to be used by God more. And so that's what we see, and that's what's happening in your life and mine. He is extending our influence. One of the teachers came up to me after chapel this morning. She said, Brother Justin, thank you for the message. She said, I prayed that prayer years ago, and God called me to be a teacher. And first day on the job, and I mean, it was chaos. I wanted to quit. She said, but I got to thinking. I asked God to extend my influence. And I expected him to give me just the perfect class all the way through, everybody listening, you know, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Oh, no. He gave me some rough ones. But he has positioned me over 20 years ago to be an influence in their life. And that's God honored his word. He extended, and she's been there for over 20 years, touching lives. But there's a cost. There's a cost to it. Yeah, there's a cost. But you see, whenever we're in these situations, we can find purpose in it. It's not just happening to happen. Let us let our light shine before men so that God may be glorified. And let us be a good influence on others. God will give you grace for that time when you need it the most. And of course, there's one of my favorite verses. We won't turn there tonight, but I'll just give it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Paul here says that we have to learn how to praise. Learn how to praise. Not for everything, give thanks, but in everything. So that is... That is a process by which we have to search and look for the good. Find purpose in the bad. All right? We have to learn how to praise Him, because if we're waiting on a perfect set of circumstances to praise Him, He ain't going to get much praise. Let me give you this illustration, this story. Betty Ford, anybody remember her? Betty Ford, Gerald Ford. Betty Ford struggled with alcoholism. She said her father and brother struggled as well. Her husband, Gerald Ford, being president at that time, you can imagine the stress. And because of that stress, it surfaced those tendencies for alcohol and the need of alcohol. So she was an alcoholic. But later, she founded the Betty Ford Center, a place where people could go for their addictions. How about that? It was a terrible situation, but it was transformed into a ministry. She got help, and she wanted to help others. She found purpose in the bad. She found purpose in the bad. She learned some things, and then she taught some things. And so I said that to say this, by finding purpose in the bad, let us all do the same this Thanksgiving. If we're waiting on a perfect Thanksgiving, I don't know if we'll ever get one. Maybe. Maybe one or two in a lifetime. But you know what? It can be a great Thanksgiving. regardless if you belong to Jesus, because there is purpose for the bad. It's true, we need to be intentional and we need to focus on the good, because the negative is going to keep floating our way. But we have to be intentional. Again, I said before and I'll say it again, David said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's the lesson tonight. How should we approach Thanksgiving? Father, we love you tonight. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. I pray that you'll just help us, Lord. I know it's hard to stay in this mind frame 24/7, 365. But Lord, help us just get it to a place where it's a conviction of ours. We don't have to constantly remind ourselves because it's a conviction. We know you're working. We know you're good. We know we need to focus on the good. And so, Lord, let our lives and our minds be one with the Word. And let us just live and breathe and do things naturally as you would have us to do them. And, Father, we love you again tonight, and we thank you. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Be with everybody on the prayer list. Once again, let us have a wonderful Sunday morning. Save the lost, bless the saved. Just everything and anything you want to do, Lord, help us just be a fountain, not a drain, and be ready to minister Sunday morning. Bless our fellowship Sunday night. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Anything anybody want to mention before we dismiss? All right. Well, that's your Thanksgiving word for tonight. All right. You're dismissed.